Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito here from Island Community Church, and I thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day today to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We are going to hear today, Monday and Tuesday. We'll let this opening play for both days. The sermon I just preached on Sunday. And we're back in this series, Priority Mail. Being a pastor, I can only imagine receiving a letter coming in from number one Gold Street, heaven, from the sendee, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Who is he sent it to? Me. Boy, just imagine. And this is what happened in Ephesus. As the Lord himself from heaven dictated seven letters to give to the messengers, or angelos, incorrectly translated as angels, more like messengers or pastors or bishops, the leaders, the elders, the preachers of these seven churches. We're going out of order. We looked at Thyatira a few weeks ago. Today, we'll look at the first church, and that's Ephesus. We'll read from the Lord Jesus what the pastor was doing right. And then we'll hear some of the things that they were doing wrong. He's going to commend them for something. And then he's going to make another promise to them. To hear, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So that's where we're at here today, Monday and Tuesday. And for more info on me, I encourage you, you can send me an email, paul@wgodradio.com. Our church has a YouTube channel now, and that's Island Community Church. You'll find the sermons uploaded on there, as well as the Wednesday night Bible study teachings uploaded on our YouTube channel. Speaking of Wednesday night, you're invited this Wednesday night as we are in Luke chapter 10, this Wednesday night live at 6 o'clock. Look for that posted later on our channel, on our Facebook page, WGOD Radio, or on the church website as well. So God's doing a great work at Island Community Church. You're invited. I invite you to come by and take part in one of our services here upcoming. So, okay, let's get into the Word now. Again, this is about a 35 or 40 minute sermon, so we'll let it play Monday and Tuesday. Priority Mail to the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Everyone have a handout for today. Thank you. Danny, glad you're back. Okay, let's try it there. Everyone have a handout. If you need one of these, raise your hand. It's got a scripture verses of everything I'm going to say. If you need one of these, just raise your hand. We'll make sure you got one. Everyone's okay. Okay. We're in this mini-series here I've called Priority Mail. Imagine sneaking into the pastor's office, and there on his desk, a letter from number one Gold Street, which I would imagine is Jesus' post office box there. Number one Gold Street. And from the Son of God himself, from Jesus Christ to Pastor Paul Esposito. You'd be dying to open that letter. Now, I know Gene wouldn't be able to sleep at night until I opened up that letter to find out how much trouble I was in. This is extraordinary. Having the opportunity to actually hear from the Son of God concerning a church, to hear what they're doing right, to hear what they're doing wrong. So let me ask the question, have you ever looked over someone else's shoulder and took a peek at the letter that they were reading? No, Dottie, we've never done that, right? While we're at it, have you ever opened up a letter addressed to someone else and proceeded to read that letter? Perhaps from the IRS. Well, you get 80,000 more chances of getting a letter from them here coming up. Now, we started a few weeks ago as we open up a letter intended for the pastor of the church in Thyatira. That's where we started. Now, today we're going to continue with a letter addressed to the angelos, or messenger, of the church at Ephesus. This letter is postmarked from heaven, literally, I like to say. I mean, it was written from heaven. John was escorted up and found himself in the Spirit in the Lord's day in heaven, and Jesus dictated a letter and told John to get out his quill, and he wrote it down and brought it to these pastors. Now, this note from John MacArthur, he says, although these seven churches were actual historical churches in Asia Minor, they represent the types of churches that perennially exist throughout the church age. What Jesus says to these seven churches is relevant in all times. You know, I hear that complaint all the time. Well, those letters were just meant for that particular church, and they don't apply to us. All right, then how about Paul's letter to the Corinthians, or Romans, or the Ephesians? Do they apply? You get my point, right? All of the New Testament were 27 letters written to somebody else. But when Paul says, this is the will of God, that you abstain from sexual immorality, you've got something to glean and take home with you. When Paul writes to someone else and says to them, the wages of sin is death, you've got something that you glean from a letter he wrote to someone else to encourage you, to help you live right. When Paul tells the Romans they're more than conquerors through Christ, even though that was written to someone else, it applies to you too. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. You will overcome this world because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Now that wasn't written to you, it was written to someone else. But it applies to you. That's why the Bible says this word is living and active. It's still alive. Cuts like a knife today. It'll lift you up. It'll convict you. Am I right? Has anyone in this church ever felt convicted of sin? Ever? If not, may I recommend Lighthouse? I'm sorry. Well, God, I mean, I would certainly hope so. I'm in tears in this church sometimes. Okay. When Paul tells another group that Satan transforms his appearance into an angel of light and his ministers can transform what they look like, you've received truth from somebody else's letters that you take home with you when you leave. The entire New Testament is somebody else's letters. So this is no different. Though it's seven churches, though they existed 2,000 years ago, what he says to them, he says to you, it applies to everyone. Let's pick it up. We're in Revelation chapter 2. It's on the handout if you do not have a Bible with you. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. The heading in my New King James is, the loveless church. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now to the angel of the church at Ephesus, write. Now he's talking to John. John's standing there with a pen. Rolling writer. Wonder what kind of pen he had. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. All right, now starting with these seven churches, he's going to include one of these attributes about himself. That's what he does in each one of these seven. He starts off with something about himself, and then he moves on. Here it's, thus says the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand. Now let's go back only just one verse to find out what that means. Chapter 1, verse 20.
It says this, the Lord speaking. He says, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw on my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are. You see that? He's telling you what this means. You don't have to guess. He's telling you what it means. The seven stars are. They're the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. But there was more than seven churches back then. Right. Seven is this number of perfection in the Bible. Represents all. It's a perfect number. Also, let me stop here for a minute. And let me give you my opinion, what I think, after 20 years of study in this book. Knowing and speaking the original language, which I do, here it goes. Angel does not mean angel in these seven instances, where it says to the angel of the church at Ephesus. Or here in chapter 1, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The Greek word here is the word angelos. Angelos means messenger, not just angel. An angelos is, quote, a messenger, one who is sent to announce or teach or perform or explore anything, unquote. My lexicon goes on. The angels of the seven churches are probably the bishops and the pastors of those churches, the delegates or messengers of the churches of God. Okay, everyone with me? Why would Jesus write a letter to seven angels and have a man give it to someone that you cannot see? When it says angels, remember, the angels were messengers. Remember on the morning Jesus was born, remember he says, the angels came and announced, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Angelos, that's what an angel is. He was the messenger. So when Jesus said, go and take this to the angelos of the church in Ephesus, he's talking about the preacher, the one who delivers the message. Like sometimes in the bulletin you'll see, might say, today's message. Some churches say sermons, some say message, because I am the messenger for God in this church. And when you stop hearing from God through me, you got to find another pastor. You guys pay to hear from God here every week. Am I right? I'm the pastor. I'm the messenger here. Let's read this again. To the messenger of the church at Ephesus, right? Even better yet, let's try this way. To the pastor of the church at Ephesus, right? A little more easier to understand now, right? He's not talking to an angel who you cannot see. The letter's for the pastor of the church, which is what that word means, angelos. To the pastor of the church in Ephesus, right? All right, now before we move on, again, let's look at the last verse of chapter 1, see what we have. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw on my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the pastors of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. And if indeed that is correct, what does that reveal about Jesus' involvement with his churches? Right, he holds the pastors in his hands is what he's saying. And he walks among the churches. Like we got seven lampstands in here. They're not lit. It's bright enough in here right now. But that's what he means. That he walks among the pastor. He holds them in his hand is what he's saying. It's exactly what he said. Now, verse 2. As is customary, the Lord's going to start with an attaboy. Something that they're doing right. With each one of these pastors here, he's going to start telling them what they're doing right first. So that's verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus says, I know your works. your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. All right, now reading somebody else's mail shocks us a little bit. Not bearing with those who are evil? That's not what we were taught, is it? We were taught to be floor mats, pretty much, weren't we? That's not what Jesus said. This attitude, you know, I am not going to put up with evil any longer, is an attitude the Lord commends. He says that's the way to do it. Don't put up with evil anymore. He's glad they won't. He's commending them for not putting up with it there at that church. And I'm sure he expects the same from us. Do you put up with evil at the school board meetings when you find out your school board masters of the universe are giving puberty-stunting drugs to your children? Putting up with evil is knowing that and not doing anything about it. You know it. You know that behind your back they're giving your kids drugs to stop them from growing. And you know it and don't do anything about it. Well, I just want to get along. You know, by the way, they sure broke with that trend in Florida last Tuesday, let me tell you. Last Tuesday saw the greatest victory the state of Florida's ever had. Even in Miami, the biggest county, Miami's school board is now 7-1. 7 in the favor of I Am, Jehovah, and the one opposed. All over the state of Florida, there was a change on Tuesday where school boards are now run by people who fear God. That's a tremendous victory for us. So this kind of stuff is going to stop now. And he commends them for getting up and making a difference and not putting up with it anymore. But even though you're rising up to make a difference is commendable, remember he's writing to the church and he's writing to the pastor. It's the pastor who must have a hard time with evil. It's up to him to keep this church pure and faithful. It's up to him to stir people up in the community. As God's messenger, that falls on me. He's writing to me. He's not writing to you here. He's writing to me. He's telling me, stir these people up. I'm coming back soon, right? We preach it. He preaches it. I preach it. Watch. Be ready. Be looking out. I gave you the signs to know that you're running out of time. And now it's up to me and up to us to stir people up here. He's writing to the pastor. Remember, this is his mail. Let's see if there's anything else he commends them for. He said, you have tested those who said that they were apostles and are not. And you have found them to be liars. Okay, Jesus commends the pastor in the Ephesians for testing a person who claims to be an apostle. Just like people say today that they are apostles. So how does one do that? How do I test someone? How do you test someone? You meet someone, you say, hi, I'm Steve. And they say, oh, hi, I am Apostle George. How do you test someone? What do you do to test someone? What does the Bible say? How do you do that? Answer, easy. Acts chapter 1, verse 22, according to the Bible, an apostle had to be an eyewitness of Jesus Christ after he was raised from the dead. So perhaps these of this church, they asked this false apostle, what color were Jesus' eyes? That's the best test. Because if you don't know the answer to that question and you call yourself an apostle, then you are a false apostle. An apostle knows the color of Jesus' eyes because an apostle knew Jesus. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not, or is it chapter 11, verse 1? He says, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus? You can answer that question. An apostle saw Jesus. He knew the color of his eyes. And then he was sent. They were sent all around the world with this message. I've seen him after he died. And he's not dead at all. He's still alive. That was the message of an apostle. But you had to know and see that. You had to be an eyewitness. You can't be on the eyewitness news if you're not an eyewitness. Right? How can you be on the eyewitness news if you haven't seen anything? These guys saw it. Paul said over 500 people saw him on one day after he had died. 500 people saw this man alive. And then they were scattered with that message. You can't tell these guys that wasn't true. They saw it themselves. This was special power and authority these guys had. So Jesus commends them for testing that to find out. Here's another verse, 2 Corinthians 12:12. Paul wrote this, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and in mighty deeds. An apostle, if you got in Peter's shadow, it could heal you. The Bible says that extraordinary miracles took place at the hands of Paul. Paul's handkerchief would heal you. Lastly, perhaps those in Ephesus failed what I like to call the prosperity test. Because this here is what a true apostle looked like. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul wrote this. I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished. We are dishonored. To this present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We're poorly clothed. We're beaten and homeless. We labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things until now. And this is what an apostle looks like. Ever seen one of those? Look at this list of 12 things. They're last. They're condemned. They're public spectacles. They're fools. They're weak. They're dishonored. They're hungry. They got their clothes at a thrift store, not Savile Row. They're homeless. This sounds like our food pantry saints. Doesn't it? It most closely resembles an apostle. Those that come here every other Saturday. Number 10, they're hated. Number 11, they're persecuted. And number 12, they are the filth of the world. And you're an apostle? An apostle was naked. As a general rule of thumb, I like to say an apostle was naked and homeless and had a bashed-in head. That's how you spot one. And you're not going to spot one because they had to know the color of his eyes. And you're not going to find anyone alive anymore that can tell you that. Was a young man named Timothy. Right after this letter, the apostle John himself lived in Ephesus and ministered to people. All right, verse 3, more commendation. He said, you have persevered and have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. See, the Lord recognizes all the hard work that you do for his name. Paul wrote, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Meaning you might not be rewarded here in this life for what you do, but you will be coming up in the next one. Now Jesus is watching, and your labor is not in vain. Again, the Apostle Paul says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Or another translation says, if we don't faint, keep up the good work, don't faint, don't give up.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Drowning in your sea of forgetfulness, the chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me, and it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been come rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest, 'cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Start the day the war begins, endless reminding of my sin. And time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? I can't bear to see the man I've been come rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest, 'cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. I know you've washed me white, turned my darkness into light. I need your peace to get me.